Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We are now in Masachet Bav Metzi at the very, very top of Daf Mem Bet Amud Aleph at the 10th Mishnah of the 3rd Perek. And in the previous Mishnah, we dealt with the proper care and the consequences of perhaps improper care over foodstuffs, specifically wine barrels. Now we'll deal with money. If somebody entrusts coins to a fellow, we already saw this Mishnah quoted in an earlier passage in this parak. Let's say that the shomer tied them up and then threw them over his back. Or he gave them to his minor children to watch. Or he put it in a place which is not locked properly. Then a chayav. He's still liable. Why? He didn't watch in the way that watchers watch. If he did watch in the normal way, then he's patur. So whatever what we expect of watchers to watch, that's what's expected of him. Now, I understand everything else in the Mishnah, meaning giving to his little kids or not locking it properly. That's not the way we watch. But if he tied them up and put it over his back or put them in his turban and it was on the back side of him, what do you want him to do? He tied him up. In the parsha of Pidyon Maser Sheni or Chilul Maser Sheni, the Torah says you redeem it on kesef and then you tie the kesef up and put it in your hand. What does that mean? The implication of the Torah is that even though this money is tied up, it should still be in your hand. Af pishut surin yu biyadcha. And now we have several statements that are tangential to this. V'yamar Rabbi Yitzchak. This is the same Rabbi Yitzchak that Rava quoted earlier. Le'olam yihei kaspo shel adam atzui biyado. A person should always keep his money available. Now this is the same Rabbi Yitzchak that says, adam atzui l'mashmesh bekiso kol sha'a. A person is always checking his money pouch. What's the proof of that? Sh'nemar v'tzartak kesef biyadcha. Same pasuk. V'yamar Rabbi Yitzchak. Another statement of Rabbi Yitzchak about safeguarding money. The olam yashlish adam ma'otav. A person should invest his money in thirds. Shlish pekarka, ushlish pepragmatia. A third in land, a third in business, merchandise. Shlish tachat yado, and a third liquid that he holds on to. V'yam Rabbi Yitzchak, ein habracha mitzvah l'bedavar samui min ha'ayin. Things are only blessed if they are discreet, and it's kept away from the eye. Shenemar, yitzav adonai tchat habracha ba'asamecha. Literally, Hashem will command his blessing to your grain, but the allusion here is asamecha samui, something that is hidden. Tana Rabbi Shmuel, ein habracha mitzuyal b'davar she'ein ha'ayin sholetet po. Only things that are away from the eye, shenemar yitzav adonai tchat bracha ba'asamecha. Same pasuk, slightly different take. Tana Rabbanan, ha'olech lamudet gorno. When a person walks in to measure his goren to see how much crops he has, grain he has. Omer yihiratzon fanecha, Hashem Eloheinu, shtach bracha maseh adenu. So Hashem, please put a blessing into our work. Hitchilam, blessing meaning bounty. Hitchilamud, once he starts counting, Omer, baruch ha-shalech bracha b'kriya zeh. He says, thank God, thank you God for, and blessed is God who put a blessing in this granary, in this pile. Madad v'yachakav hayrach, but if first he measured and then thank God, harezu tefilat shav, that's not okay. Because there's 2 points here. Bracha does not apply to things that are already weighed, or already measured, or already counted. But rather things that are away from the eye, meaning you don't have full access to them. Shenemar, again the same pasuk. As I mentioned, there's 2 things here. One of them is the notion of tefillat shav, which is once you've already counted it, saying Yehi Ratzon, Hashem, please put a bracha here. A little late for that. Second thing is that we bless God and we thank God and we beseech of God for those things that are not yet fully countable and recognizable. Back to our main topic. Amar Shmuel, Ksafim ein lahem shmira ela bekarka. The best thing to do with money and the only way to properly take care of money is to bury it in the ground. So Amar Rava umodi Shmuel be'erev Shabbat ben hashmashot. So Rava says Shmuel will agree that if you're entrusted money just before Shabbat starts, so the Rabbanan didn't say at the last minute you have to run out and dig a hole in the ground and bury it there. But if you waited after Shabbat, Saturday night, long enough that you could bury it and you didn't bury it, then Michayev. Then if it gets stolen from you, that's not Derech HaShomrim. It's one thing if you're given the money right before Shabbat, so we don't bother you to go out and dig a hole right before Shabbat. And certainly over the course of Shabbat when you're not allowed to. But after Shabbat, if let's say it takes you an hour to get out there, dig a proper hole and bury it, and 2 hours after you, and you didn't do anything, and 2 hours later it's stolen, then you're Chayav. V'tzuvim rabbanan hu, but let's say the one who entrusted the money to you is a talmid chacham, savar d'mambay le'zuzi l'avdalta. You might not bury it because you might be reasoning he may need the money to buy something for avdala, so I won't bury it right away. Now, that's all originally. Now that there are people who are literally feelers, but the idea is money diviners, people who walk around using whatever they can to figure out where money is buried, so burying money is no good. Then the best thing to do is put them on the top beam of the house. Meaning at a later point, there are people who break in the houses, and they break in evidently through the roof. And it must be between the bricks and the holes of the bricks of the wall. Rava Moda Shmuel the Kotel. Shmuel agrees you can put him into a kotel. Now, but now there are people who wrap on walls to see where there are empty spaces. The only place to keep them is within the first tefach of ground, or the first tefach high up in the house, closest to the roof. Amar Rav Acha b'Reid Rav Yosef Ravashi. Hatam tnan chamet shraflal av mapole torehu kemvuar. Over there, we learned that in Psachim that if chametz was buried under a fallen house or something, that's considered out of this world. Meaning you don't have to go and dig after it and clean it out. Shem gamliel omer kol sheina kel v'chol chapesach. As long as the dog can't find it. V'tana kamat chapisat hakel. How far is that? Shloshat tefachim, meaning if it's buried under three tefachim, the dog won't be able to get to it. So hachamai, here do we say that proper burial is three tefachim, or do we say like we just said one tefach? So the amir banim shloshat tefachim alo. So amarlei hata mishum reicha. In the case of chametz, it's because of the smell. The dog will smell it, and therefore he'll dig after it. So if it's buried so much that he can't smell it, then he won't go after it. Ba'inan shloshat tefachim, that's why you need three tefachim. Hacha mishum echsuyei, and here it's just that it should be unseen. You don't need three tefachim. You know this was coming. Tefach. One tefach is enough. And now we hear some stories. Hahu Gavra. There was a fellow. The Afkid Zuzi Gami Chavrei. He entrusted somebody with money. Otvinu Betsrifa Du'urvani. So he put it in what evidently is a trap for birds. Ignum. And it was stolen from there. Now this is the Shomer Chira. Amar Rav Yosef, Afagadla Inyan Gan Vinitiruta Hi. Even though that's considered proper shmira from Ganavim. Nura, but it's not a proper shmira from fire. Pshiutahi, because if there's a fire, the trap, which is made out of wood, will go on fire, and this thing will be burnt up. So therefore, meaning, originally, where you put it there, there was a pshia, because if there were a fire, you'd cause this thing to be lost. In the end, it was an onus, because it was taken from a place that is guarded from ganavim. So therefore, chayav. If we say, then you chayav. Some people said that Rav Yosef's ruling was as follows. Even though, as far as a fire goes, that would be pshia. So if it was on fire and burned, you'd be chayiv. But as far as ganavim goes, this is really good shmira. And then he rules the opposite way in this version, that if the beginning of the incident started with neglect but ended up onus, you're patur. The halach is like the first approach. This is something we dealt with in the second parak of Bava Kama, that if the first beginning of the instance of nezek, or of lack of proper shmir happens with pshia and it ends up baonis, you're still chayiv. Okay, who gavra da'afkid zuzi gabi chavrei? A guy entrusted another fellow with money. Amarlei havli zuzoi. Then the owner came up and said, let me have my money. Amarlei lo yadana heichod vinu. He says, I don't remember where I put it. We already saw something of this sort earlier. Ata the kami de Rava, the kim de Rava. Amarlei kol lo yadana pshiutahi. Anytime that you say, I don't know where it is, that's pshia. Zil shalem, you have to pay. Okay, another story. Hu gavra da afkid zuze gabi chavrei. All these stories, of course, about money, because that's the topic of our Mishnah. A fellow entrusted money to another fellow. Ashleminhu leime. The fellow, the shomer, gave it to his mother. V'odvinu bekartelita. His mother put it in her own work basket. V'ignuv. And it was stolen from there. Amarav, ahechi nidainu dayoni lahai dina. This is a phrase we're going to see several times now. How should judges judge this case? Name Alela Didei Zil Shalem, to tell the shomer you have to pay. Amar, he'll say, kol amafkid al dat ishto uvanavu mafkid. Remember, we had this earlier. The guy who gave it to me knew that my mother was going to have contact with it, because anybody who's mafkid knows that the adult members of the house have access to it and are going to help watch it. So I'm not guilty. I put it in my mother's care. Neymar la leime zili shlimi, to tell the mother you have to pay. Amra, her answer would be, lo amar li delav didaininu. He didn't tell me it wasn't his stuff, so I didn't watch it carefully. Doc Barino, I would have buried it. If he had told me it wasn't his stuff, he was watching it for somebody else, I would have buried it, like Shmuel's advice. So Neymole, why don't we say to him, Amai lo amar la, why didn't you tell your mother? Amar kol shekein nechi amina la didaininu tfemiz daharabe. Bahu. He said, had I told her, had I told her that they were mine, she would have been even more careful with it. Ela amarava mishtava ihu. This is the solution. He takes an oath to hanuzuzi ashtaminu leime. He takes an oath that he gave it to his mother. And the mother takes the oath that she put in the basket and it was stolen. Upater, because like a team, and the basket is a perfectly legitimate place to have it. It was stolen from there. Shomerchin is part of Begneva. Hahu apotropa. Now we have an apotropos, the Yatme, a guy who's in charge of the Yatomim's estate. The Zovan Lehu Torah Liyatme. He bought an ox on behalf of the Yatomim. Umasra the Bakra. Then he handed it over to a herdsman to take care of. Loavile Kachi Bishini Lemechal. The animal didn't have proper molars and teeth to eat. But nobody knew this. Umate. So therefore he was out there. He didn't eat and he died. So what do we do? Amar Chama, Hechi Nidainu and Dayani LaHaidina. Again, how should a judge judge this case? Name a Apotropa to tell the Apotropa Zil Shalom you have to pay the Atomim because you used their money to buy the animal and it died. Amar Anu LaVakra Masarte. Well, he said, what do you mean? I handed it over to a herdsman. I did everything I was supposed to. Name a LaBakra to tell the herdsman Zil Shalom. Amar Anu Bahani Tori Ukimta. I put him with their oxen. I threw food out to all of them. I didn't know he wasn't eating. I didn't check his teeth. Wait, time out. The herdsman is getting paid. So he's a shomer sachar on behalf of the Yatomim. He should have looked further. It's a shomer chinam is one thing. You're a shomer sachar, you have to see if the animal is going to eat. So the thing is, you're right. In a normal case, the herdsman would have to pay. What's happening here? The lake upsated the Atmi. In this case, there was no loss to the Atomim. They're not the ones who are suing for money. Why? They found the seller, literally the owner of the ox, but we'll say it's not exactly the case. And they got paid back. They said, we bought an ox from you, and the ox turned out not to have teeth, and as a result of that, it died, and they were able to get money back. In this particular case, so who's the plaintiff? Mari Datara Katoin, the owner, the original owner. Is saying, I sold an animal, it didn't have teeth, you didn't check into it, you, the herdsman, didn't take care of it, and died. But wait a second, the owner should have told us. He said, my modinli, what should he have told us? May the yodah the mekachtot have. He knew there was a mekachtot. Right? So he should have told us, said that it has no teeth. The answer is, b'safsira, d'zovan mehacha mazbin l'hacha. Actually, the person that paid them was a middleman, who was buying it from one place and selling it in another place, so he wasn't really the owner. Hilkach, here's the ruling. Mishtaba yud lo have yada. The first, the middleman takes a note that he didn't know. Mishalim bakra de embasar bazol, and the herdsman has to pay, but doesn't pay the value of an animal, he pays the value of meat. Because this thing died as an avela, could have been shechted. Alright, the cheap value of meat. Hau gavr da afkid kishuta gabi chavrei, a fellow entrusted some hops. With another fellow, somebody you could, some kind of grain that you could make beer out of. Havile did they namikari de kshuta, and the shomer had also his own pile of kshuta. Amrele the sar say he said to the brewer, mehai rami, take from that, pointing to his own pile. Alzaram idach, the brewer instead took from the other pile, which belonged to this other fellow, and made beer out of it. Amram hechen edainun dayon la haidina, and for the third time we have that phrase. How should a judge judge this case? Namely, did they zil shalom to tell the shomer you should pay? Amar ana amri lehai rami. I told the brewer where to take it from. Namely, the sarsi to tell the brewer zil shalom you should pay. Amar lomer lehai rami hai lo to me. He didn't tell me take from here and not from here. He just said take from here. So I thought it was just giving me an example, showing me the closest pile. V'dshaha shir li tuyile v'lo aitile. If, for instance, the brewer waited around long enough to take from the furthest pile, meaning the pile of the pikadon, and they didn't bring anything, then gali adate d'nechale. Then the owner is indicating that he's really comfortable with him taking it from there. And then there's no claim at all. Now, B'delo shah, we're talking about a case where he didn't wait that long. He took it right away, and the owner had no knowledge of it, etc. Now, sof sof, my pseida ikab, what's the loss here? He made beer out of it. V'akam ishtar shilei. So, some raid the rava, the havishich rachala. It turned out the beer went bad. It went to vinegar. So that's why he's suing it. Rav Ashi Amar, he said a different case. B'chisei, umashalim leid to make kisei. It turned out there were thorns in here, and the beer did not go well as a result, and therefore he has to pay him the value of the thorns that have now gotten increased as a result of being in the beer. Okay, we'll stop at this point. We're going to talk more about, in the next Mishnah, more about pikadon of coins, and in the next podcast, in Hashem, we will go to the end of the parak on Daf Mem Dalad, Amud Aleph. Everyone should have a wonderful day.